When you wake up in the morning, do you feel tired and run down? Do you have that listless feeling?
Jeffries?
Congratulations, Jeff.
For what?
For getting rid of that cast.
Who said I was getting rid of it?
This is Wednesday. 7 weeks from the day you broke your leg. Yes or no?
Gunnison, how did you ever get to be such a big editor with such a small memory?
By thrift, industry, and hard work. And catching the publisher with the secretary. Did I get the wrong day?
No. No, wrong week. Next Wednesday, I emerge from this plaster cocoon.
Oh, that's too bad, Jim. Well, I guess I can't be lucky every day. Forget I called.
Yeah, I sure feel sorry for you, Gunnison. Must be rough on you, thinking of me wearing this cast for another whole week.
Well, that 1 week is going to cost me my best photographer, and you a big assignment.
Well, where?
Well, there's no point in even talking about it.
No, come on, come on, where?
Kashmir. Got a code tip from the bureau chief this morning. The place is about to go up in smoke.
What did I tell you? Didn't I tell you that's the next place to watch?
You did.
Okay, when do I leave? Half hour, hour?
With that cast on? You don't.
Oh, stop sounding stuffy. I can take pictures from a Jeep or a water buffalo if necessary.
You're too valuable to the magazine for us to play around with. I'll send Morgan or Lambert.
Morgan or Lambert, that's fine. I get myself half killed for you, and you reward me by stealing my assignments.
I didn't ask you to stand in the middle of that automobile racetrack.
You asked for something dramatically different. You got it.
So did you. Goodbye, John.
Now, wait a minute, Gunnison. Now, you've got to get me out of here. 6 weeks sitting in a two-room apartment with nothing to do but look out the window at the neighbors.
Goodbye, John.
Now, Gunnison, if you don't pull me out of this swamp of boredom, I'm going to do something drastic.
Like what?
Like what? I'm going to get married, and then I'll never be able to go anywhere.
It's about time you got married, before you turn into a lonesome and bitter old man.
Yeah, can't you just see me rushing home to a hot apartment to listen to the automatic laundry and the electric dishwasher and the garbage disposal and the nagging wife?
Jeff, wives don't nag anymore. They discuss.
That's so. That's so. Well, maybe in the high rent district they discuss. In my neighborhood, they still nag.
Yeah? Well, you know best. Call you later, Jeff.
Yeah, have some good news next time, huh?
Thank you. can't you shut up?
The New York State sentence for a peeping Tom is 6 months in the workhouse.
Oh, hello, Scott.
And they got no windows in the workhouse. You know, in the old days, they used to put your eyes out with a red-hot poker. Any of those bikini bombshells you're always watching worth a red-hot poker? Oh, dear. We become a race of peeping Toms. What people ought to do is get outside their own house and look in for a change. Yes, sir. How's that for a bit of homespun philosophy?
The Reader's Digest, April 1939.
Well, I only quote from the best.
Oh, you don't have to take my temperature this morning.
Why? See if you can break 100. You know, I should have been a gypsy fortune teller instead of an insurance company nurse. I got a nose for trouble. Can smell it 10 miles away. You heard of that market crash in 29? I predicted that.
Oh, yes, how'd you do that, Stone?
Oh, simple. I was nursing a director of General Motors. Kidney ailment, they said. Nerves, I said. Then I asked myself, what's General Motors got to be nervous about? Overproduction, I says. Collapse. When General Motors has to go to the bathroom 10 times a day, the whole country's ready to let go.
Well, Stella, in economics, a kidney ailment has no relationship to the stock market, none whatsoever.
Crash, didn't it? I can smell trouble right here in this apartment. First you smash your leg, then you get to looking out the window, see things you shouldn't see. Trouble. I can see you in court now, surrounded by a bunch of lawyers in double-breasted suits. You're pleading. You say, Judge, it was only a little bit of innocent fun. I love my neighbors like a father. And the judge says, well, congratulations. You've just given birth to 3 years in Dannemora.
Yeah, right now, I'd welcome trouble, you know.
You've got a hormone deficiency.
How can you tell from a thermometer?
Those bathing beauties you've been watching haven't raised your temperature 1 degree in a month.
Here we go.
One more week. You know, I think you're right. I think there is going to be trouble around here.
I knew it.
Do you ever heat that stuff?
Gives your circulation something to fight.
Oh, I see.
What kind of trouble?
Lisa Fremont.
You kidding? She's a beautiful young girl, and you're a reasonably healthy young man.
She expects me to marry her.
That's normal.
I don't want to.
What's abnormal?
I'm not ready for marriage.
Every man's ready for marriage when the right girl comes along. And Lisa Fremont is the right girl for any man with half a brain who can get one eye open.
Oh, she's all right.
Did you two have a fight?
No.
Father loading up the shotgun?
What? Please, Stella.
It's happened before, you know. Some of the world's happiest marriages have started under the gun, as you might say.
No, she's just not the girl for me.
Yeah, she's only perfect.
She's too perfect. She's too talented. She's too beautiful. She's too sophisticated. She's too everything but what I want.
Is what you want something you can discuss?
What? Well, it's very simple, Stella. She belongs to that rarefied atmosphere of Park Avenue, you know, expensive restaurants and the literary cocktail parties.
People with sense belong wherever they're put.
Can you imagine her tramping around the world with a camera bum who never has more than a week's salary in the bank if she was only ordinary?
You never going to get married?
I'll probably get married. When I do, it's going to be to someone who thinks of life not just... just as a new dress and a lobster dinner and the latest scandal. I need a woman who's willing to, hold it, who's willing to go anywhere and do anything and love it.
So the honest thing for me to do is just call the whole thing off. Let her find somebody else.
Yeah, I can hear you now. Get out of my life, you perfectly wonderful woman. You're too good for me. Look, Mr. Jeffries, I'm not an educated woman, but I can tell you one thing. When a man and a woman see each other and like each other, they ought to come together, wham, like a couple of taxis on Broadway, and not sit around analyzing each other like two specimens in a bottle.
There's an intelligent way to approach marriage.
Intelligence. Nothing has caused the human race so much trouble as intelligence. Modern marriage.
Now, we've progressed emotionally.
Baloney. Once it was see somebody, get excited, get married. Now it's read a lot of books, fence with a lot of four-syllable words, psychoanalyze each other until you can't tell the difference between a petting party and a civil service exam.
People have different emotional levels.
When I married Miles, we were both a couple of maladjusted misfits. We are still maladjusted misfits, and we have loved every minute of it.
Well, that's fine, Stella. Now, would you fix me a sandwich, please?
Yes, I will. And I'll spread a little common sense on the bread. Lise is loaded to her fingertips with love for you. I got two words of advice for you. Marry her.
She pay you much?
Oh. Window shopper.
How's your leg?
It hurts a little.
And your stomach?
Empty as a football.
And your love life?
Not too active.
Anything else bothering you?
Mm-hmm. Who are you?
Reading from top to bottom. Lisa? Carol. Fremont.
Is this the Lisa Fremont who never wears the same dress twice?
Only because it's expected of her. It's right off the Paris plane. You think it'll sell?
Well, that depends on the quote, you know. Let's see now. There's the airplane ticket over and import duties, hidden taxes, profit markup.
A steal at $1,100.
$1,100? They ought to list that dress on the stock exchange.
Why, we sell a dozen a day in this price range.
Who buys them? Tax collectors?
Even if I had to pay, it would be worth it. Just for the occasion.
What, is something big going on somewhere?
What's going on right here? It's a big night.
Well, it's just an old run-of-the-mill Wednesday. Well, the calendar's full of them.
It's opening night of the last depressing week of L.B. Jeffries in a cast.
Well, I haven't noticed a big demand for tickets or anything.
Ah, that's because I bought out the house. You know, the cigarette box has seen better days.
Oh, I picked that up in Shanghai, which has also seen better days.
It's cracked and you never use it. It's too ornate. I'm sending up a plain flat silver one with just your initials engraved.
Oh, that's no way to spend your hard-earned money.
Well, I wanted to. Oh! What would you think of starting off with dinner at 21?
Will you have perhaps an ambulance downstairs?
Ah, better than that. 21. Thank you for waiting, Carl. The kitchen's right there on the left. Oh, I'll take the wine.
Good evening, Mr. Jeffries.
Just put everything in the oven, Carl, on low.
Yes, madame.
Let's open the wine now.
All right.
It's a Montrachet.
Great big glass full. Now, the corkscrew right over there. Here, I'll do it.
Big enough?
Yeah, fine.
I can't think of anything more boring or tiresome than what you've been through. The last week must be the hardest.
Let me, sir.
Yeah, I want to get this thing off and get moving.
Well, I'm going to make this a week you'll never forget.
All right, thanks.
Oh, just a minute, Carl. This will take care of the taxi as well.
Thank you, Miss Freeman. Have a pleasant dinner, Mr. Jeffries.
All right, good night.
Good night. What a day I've had.
Were you tired?
Not a bit. Oh, I was all morning in a sales meeting. Then I had to dash to the Waldorf for a quick drink with Madame Dufresne, who was just over from Paris with some spy reports. And then I had to go to 21 and have lunch with the Harper's Bazaar people, and that's when I ordered dinner. Then I had two Paul showings 20 blocks apart. Then I had to have a cocktail with Leland and Slim Haywood for trying to get his new show. And then I had to dash back and change.
Well, now tell me. Tell me. What was Mrs. Hayward wearing?
Oh, she looked wonderfully
she
cool.
Did.
She had on the most divine Italian handprint.
Oh, Italian.
Oh, you. To think I planted three nice items in the columns about you today.
You did.
Well, you can't buy that kind of publicity.
I know.
Someday you may want to open up a studio of your own here.
Well, now, how would I run it from, say, Pakistan?
Jeff. Isn't it time you came home? You could pick your assignment.
Well, I wish there was one I wanted.
Make the one you want.
You mean leave the magazine?
Yes.
For what?
For yourself and me. I could get you a dozen assignments tomorrow. Fashions, portraits. When I don't laugh, I could do it.
Well, that's what I'm afraid of. Can you see me driving down to the fashion salon in a Jeep, wearing combat boots and a three-day beard? Will that make a hit?
Well, I could see you looking very handsome and successful in a dark blue flannel suit.
Now, let's stop talking nonsense, shall we?
I guess I'd better start setting up for dinner.
Miss Lonelyheart. Well, at least that's something you'll never have to worry about.
Oh? You can see my apartment from here all the way up on 63rd Street?
No, not exactly, but we have a little apartment here that's probably about as popular as yours. You remember, of course, Miss Torso, the ballet dancer? She's like a queen bee with her pick of the drones.
I'd say she's doing a woman's hardest job, juggling wolves.
She picked the most prosperous looking one.
She's not in love with him. Or any of them.
How can you tell that from here?
You said it resembled my apartment, didn't you?
Wonderful music coming from?
Some songwriter over there in the studio apartment. He lives alone. Probably had a very unhappy marriage.
Oh, it's enchanting. It's almost as if it were being written especially for us.
No wonder he's having so much trouble with it.
But at least you can't say the dinner isn't right.
Lisa, it's perfect. As always.
There can't be that much difference between people and the way they live. We all eat, talk, drink, laugh, wear clothes.
Oh, now look.
If you're saying all this because you don't want to tell me the truth, because you're hiding something from me, then maybe I can understand.
I'm not hiding anything. It's just that
it doesn't make sense. What's so different about it here from over there, or any place you go, that one person couldn't live in both places just as easily?
Some people can. Now, if you just let me explain.
What is it for traveling from one place to another taking pictures? This is like being a tourist on an endless vacation.
Okay, now that's your opinion. You're entitled to it. Now let me give you my
side. It's ridiculous to say that it can only be done by a special private little group of anointed people.
I made a simple statement. A true statement, but I can back it up if you just shut up for a minute.
But if your opinion is as rude as your manner, I don't think I care to hear it.
Oh, come on, now simmer down.
I can't fit in here, you can't fit in there. I mean, according to you, people should be born, live, and die on the same spot.
Shut up! Did you ever eat fish heads and rice?
Of course not.
Well, you might have to if you went with me. Did you ever try to keep warm on a C-54 at 15,000 feet, 20 degrees below zero?
Oh, I do it all the time. Whenever I have a few minutes after lunch.
Did you ever get shot at? Did you ever get run over? Did you ever get sandbagged at night because somebody got unfavorable publicity from your camera? Did you ever have those high heels? They'll be great in the jungle. And the nylons and those 6-ounce lingerie.
Three.
All right, it's three. Well, they'll make a big hit in Finland just before you freeze to death.
Well, if there's one thing I know, it's how to wear the proper clothes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, try and find a raincoat in Brazil, even when it isn't raining. Lisa, in this job, you carry one suitcase. Your home is the available transportation. You don't sleep very much. You bathe less. And sometimes the food that you eat is made from things that you couldn't even look at when they're alive.
Jeff, you don't have to be deliberately repulsive just to impress me. I'm wrong.
Deliberately repulsive? Well, I'm just trying to make it sound good. You just have to face it, Lisa. You're not meant for that kind of a life. Few people are.
You're too stubborn to argue with.
I'm not stubborn. I'm just truthful.
I know. A lesser man would have told me it was one long holiday, and I would have been awakened to a rude disillusionment.
Oh, well, now, wait a minute. Now, wait a minute. If you want to get vicious on this thing, I'd be very happy to accommodate you.
No, I don't particularly want that. So that's it. You won't stay here, and I can't go with you.
It would be the wrong thing.
You don't think either one of us could ever change?
Right now, it doesn't seem so.
I'm in love with you. I don't care what you do for a living. I'd just like to be part of it somehow. It's deflating to find out the only way I can be part of it is to take out a subscription to your magazine. I guess I'm not the girl I thought I was.
No, there's nothing wrong with you, Lisa. You've got this town on the palm of your hand.
Not quite, it seems. Goodbye, Jeff.
Well, you mean good night.
I mean what I said.
Well, Lisa, couldn't we just... Couldn't we just keep things status quo?
Without any future?
Well, when am I going to see you again?
Not for a long time. At least, not until tomorrow night.
that supposed to be, ma'am?
It's called hunger.
The rain would have cooled things off. All it did was make the heat wet.
Oh, that's it. That's it. That's a stiff one right there. Right there.
You know, the insurance company would be much happier if you'd sleep in bed at night instead of in that wheelchair.
Oh, how'd you know?
Eyes are all bloodshot. Must have been watching out that window for hours.
Yeah, I was.
What are you going to do if one of them catches you?
Yeah, it depends which one. Now, Miss Torso, for example.
You keep your mind off her.
She sure is the eat, drink, and be merry girl.
Yeah, she'll wind up fat, alcoholic, and miserable.
Yeah. Speaking of misery, poor Miss Lonelyheart, she drank herself to sleep again, alone.
Poor soul. Oh, well, maybe one day she'll find her happiness.
Well, some man will lose his.
Isn't there anybody in the neighborhood could cast an eye in her direction?
No. It just might be that the salesman will be available soon.
Oh, him and his wife splitting up?
I just can't figure it. He went out several times last night in the rain carrying his sample case.
Well, he's a salesman, isn't he?
Well, what would he be selling at 3 o'clock in the morning?
Flashlights. Luminous dials for watches. House numbers that light up.
I don't think so. I think he was taking something out of the apartment.
Uh-huh. His personal effects. He's gonna run out on her, the coward.
Yeah. Sometimes it's worse to stay than it is to run.
Yeah, well, it takes a particularly low type of man to do a thing like that. How about this morning? Any further developments?
The shades are all drawn in the apartment.
In this heat?
Yeah.
Well, they're up now.
Get back.
Well, where do you want me to go? What is it?
Get out of sight.
What's the matter?
Get out of sight. The salesman's looking out of his window, you see? Get back. He'll see you.
I'm not shy. I've been looked at before.
That's no ordinary look. That's the kind of a look a man gives when he's afraid somebody might be watching him.
Jeffrey, see you tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
And don't sleep in that chair again.
Uh-huh.
Great conversationalist.
Stella, take those binoculars out of the case and bring them here, will you?
Trouble. And smell it. Glad when they crack that cast and I can get out of here.
far does a girl have to go before you notice her?
Well, if she's pretty enough, she doesn't have to go anywhere. She just has to be.
Well, ain't I? Pay attention to me.
Well, I'm not exactly on the other side of the room.
Your mind is. And when I want a man, I want all of you.
Don't you ever have any problems?
I have one now.
So do I.
Tell me about it.
Why would a man leave his apartment three times on a rainy night with a suitcase and come back three times?
Mm. Next way his wife welcomes him home.
No, not this salesman's wife. Why didn't he go to work today?
Homework. It's more interesting. Mm.
What's interesting about a butcher knife and a small saw wrapped in newspaper, huh?
Nothing, thank you.
Why hasn't he been in his wife's bedroom all day?
I wouldn't dare answer that.
Listen, I'll answer, Lisa. There's something terribly wrong.
And I'm afraid it's with me.
What do you think?
Something too frightful to utter.
He went out a few minutes ago in his undershirt. Hasn't come back yet. That'd be a terrible job to tackle. Just how would you start to cut up a human body?
Jeff, I'll be honest with you. You're beginning to scare me a little. Jeff, did you hear what I said? You're beginning to scare...
Shh, he's coming back.
See yourself.
What's the matter?
Sitting around looking out at the window to kill time is one thing, but doing it the way you are with binoculars and wild opinions about every little thing you see is disease.
What, do you think I consider it recreation?
I don't know what you consider it, but if you don't stop it, I'm getting out of here.
What
is it you're looking for?
I just want to find out what's the matter with the salesman's wife, that's all. Does that make me sound like a madman?
What makes you think there's something the matter with
her? A lot of things. She's an invalid. She demands constant care. Yet neither the husband or anybody else been in to see her all day. Why?
Maybe she died.
Where's the doctor? Where's the undertaker?
She could be sleeping under sedatives. He's in there now. There's nothing to see.
There is some. I've seen it through that window. I've seen bickering and family quarrels and mysterious trips at night, knives and saws and ropes. And now, since last evening, not a sign of the wife. All right, now you tell me where she is.
I don't know.
What's she doing? Where is she?
Maybe he's leaving his wife. I don't know. I don't care. Lots of people have knives and saws and ropes around their houses. Lots of men don't speak to their wives all day. Lots of wives nag, and men hate them, and trouble starts. But very, very few of them end up in murder, if that's what you're thinking.
It's pretty hard for you to keep away from that word, isn't it?
You could see all that he did, couldn't you?
Well, of course.
You could see because the shades were up, and he walked along the corridor in the street in the backyard.
In the backyard, touching the flowers.
Oh, Jeff, do you think a murderer would let you see all that? That he wouldn't pull the shades down and hide behind them?
Just where he's being clever, he's being nonchalant.
Oh, and that's where you're not being clever.
He's just being nonchalant.
A murderer would never parade his crime in front of an open window.
Why not?
Why, for all you know, there's probably something a lot more sinister going on behind those windows.
Where? Oh. No comment.
Let's start from the beginning again, Jeff. Tell me everything you saw. And what you think it means.
The second floor rear mailbox reads Mr. and Mrs. Lars. That's L-A-R-S. Lars Thorwald.
What's the number of the apartment house?
125 West 9th Street.
Well, thank you, dear.
Okay, Chief, what's my next assignment?
Just go home.
All right. But what's he doing now?
He's just sitting in the living room in the dark. Hasn't gone near the bedroom. All right, now you go home and get some sleep, huh? Good night.
Good night.
All right, what's it all about, Jeff?
Now, look, Doyle, it's just something I can't tell you over the telephone. You have to be here and see the whole setup.
Important, huh?
Yeah, well, it's probably nothing important at all. It's just a little neighborhood murder, that's all.
Say murder, Jeff?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I did say murder.
Oh.
My only thought was throwing a little business your way, that's all.
Thanks.
I figured a good detective would jump at the chance of something to detect.
I'm not working.
What?
It happens to be my day off.
Well, I usually took my best pictures on my day off.
I'll drop by.
Okay, Doyle. Go ahead, as soon as you can. Ah, bless your heart, Stella.
Gee, Liz, look at this.
I'll tell you what a welcome sight this is. No wonder your husband still loves you.
The police.
What?
You called the police.
Well, not exactly. It's not an official call. It's just an old friend of mine. An old ornery friend of mine.
Just where do you suppose he cut her up? Of course, the bathtub. That's the only place where he could have washed away the blood. You better get that trunk out of there before it starts to leak. Mr. Jeffries.
I thought Doyle would be here by the time the trunk left, or I'd call the police. Now we're going to lose it, look.
Hold everything.
Well, don't do anything foolish.
I'm just going to get the name off that freight truck.
I'll keep an eye on the alley.
See the killing or the body? How do you know there was a murder?
Because everything this fella's done has been suspicious. Trips at night in the rain, and knives, and saws, and trunks with rope, and now this wife that isn't there anymore.
I admit it all has a mysterious sound. Be any number of things. Murder's the least possible.
Now, Doyle, don't tell me he's an unemployed magician amusing the neighborhood with his sleight of hand. Now, don't tell me that.
It's too obvious and stupid a way to commit murder. In full view of 50 windows? Then sit over there smoking a cigar waiting for the police to come and pick him up?
All right, officer, do your duty. Go over and pick him up.
Jeff, you've got a lot to learn about homicide. Why morons have committed murder so shrewdly it's taken 100 trained police minds to catch them. That salesman wouldn't just knock his wife off after dinner and toss her in the trunk and put her in storage.
I'll bet it's been done.
Most everything's been done. Under panic. This is a 1,000-to-1 shot. He's still sitting around the apartment. That man's not panicked.
You think I made all this up?
Well, I think you saw something. There's probably a very simple explanation for it.
For instance?
Wife took a trip.
His wife was sick in bed.
Yeah, so you told me. Well, Jeff, I've got to run along. I won't report this to the department. Let me poke into it a little on my own. No sense in your getting a lot of ridiculous publicity.
Thank you.
We know the wife is gone, so I'll see if I can find out where.
Do that.
You had any headaches lately?
Not until you showed up.
It'll wear off, along with the hallucinations. See you around. Six-month lease. Used up a little more than 5.5 months of it. He's quiet, drinks, but not to drunkenness. Pays his bills promptly with money earned as a costume jewelry salesman, wholesale. Kept him himself. None of his neighbors get close to him or his wife.
Yeah, well, I think they missed their chance with her.
She never left the apartment.
And where is
until
she?
Yesterday morning.
What time?
6 a.m.
6 a.m. I think that's about the time I fell asleep.
Too bad. Thorwalds were leaving their apartment at just that time. Feel a little foolish?
No, not yet. How's your wife?
Oh, she's fine.
Who said they left then?
Who left where?
The Thorwalds at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, the building superintendent and two tenants. Flat statements, no hesitation. They jive to the letter. Thorwalds on their way to the railroad station.
Well, now, Tom, how could anybody possibly guess that? What, did they have signs on their luggage saying Grand Central or bust?
The superintendent met Thorwald on his way back. Thorwald told him that he'd put his wife on a train to the country.
I see. I say, this is a pretty convenient guy, the superintendent. Have you checked his bank statements lately? Huh? Well, what good's his information? It's a secondhand version of an unsupported story by the murderer himself, Thorwald. Now, did anybody actually see the wife get on the train?
I hate to remind you, but this all started because you said she was murdered. Now, did anyone, including you, actually see her murder?
What do you do? Are you interested in solving this case or in making me look foolish?
Well, if possible, both.
Well, then do a good job of it. Go over there and search Thorwald's apartment. It must be knee-deep in evidence.
I can't do that.
Well, no, I don't mean right now, but when he goes out for a drink or a paper or something, what he doesn't know won't hurt him.
I can't do that even if he isn't there.
Does he have a courtesy card from the police department or something?
Now, don't get me mad. Not even a detective can walk into an apartment and search it. Why, if I were caught in there, they'd have my badge within 10 minutes.
All right, make sure you don't get caught, that's all. What, if you find something, you've got a murder, and they don't care anything about a couple of house rules. If you don't find anything, the fella's clear.
At the risk of sounding stuffy, I'd like to remind you of the Constitution. The phrase, search warrant, issued by a judge who knows his Bill of Rights verbatim. He must ask for evidence.
Give him evidence.
Hear myself. Your Honor, I have a friend who's a amateur sleuth. And, well, the other night after having a heavy dinner, he, throw the New York State Penal Code right in my face. And it's 6 volumes.
You know, by tomorrow morning, there may not be any evidence left over in that apartment. You know that.
It's a detective's nightmare.
Well, what do you need before you can search? Tell me, now, what do you need? Bloody footsteps leading up to the door?
One thing I don't need is heckling. You call me and ask for help. I'm behaving like a taxpayer. Did we ever stand each other in that plane for 3 years during the war? Yeah, I guess I'll go to the railroad station and check on Thorwald's story.
Oh, forget about the story. Find the trunk. Mrs. Thorwald's in it.
Oh, I almost forgot. There was a postcard in Thorwald's mailbox. It was mailed 3:30 yesterday afternoon from Merrittsville. That's 80 miles north of here. Message went, arrived okay, already feeling better. Love, Anna.
Is that Anna? Is that who I think it is?
Mrs. Thorwald. Anything you need, Jeff?
You might send me a good detective.
Hello, Miss Doyle.
Yes.
Well, this is Jeff again. Has Tom come in yet?
Not yet, Jeff.
You mean you haven't even heard from him?
Not a word. Is it something really important, Jeff?
Yeah, I'm afraid it is, Tess.
I'll have him call the moment I hear from him.
No. Don't bother to do that. Just have him get over here as soon as he can. Looks like Thorwald's pulling out tonight.
Who's Thorwald?
No, he'll know. And Thorwald's a man, Tess. Don't worry.
Good night, you idiot. Yeah.
Distance again. What'd you do to your hair?
Well, that's just sort of...
Take a look at Thorwald. He's getting ready to pull out for good. Look at him.
Doesn't seem to be in any hurry.
Now, he's been laying out all his things on one of the beds. Shirts, suits, coats, socks. Even his wife's... That alligator handbag
what
wife
about
had on
it?
The bedpost. Well, he had it hidden in the dresser. At least it was there. Now, he took it out, went to the telephone, made a long-distance call... He had his wife's jewelry in the handbag. Seemed worried about it. Asked somebody's advice over the telephone.
Someone not his wife.
Yeah, well, I never saw him ask her for advice. She volunteered plenty, but I never saw him ask her for any.
I wonder where he's going.
I don't know.
Suppose he doesn't come back again.
Oh, he'll be back. His things are still there.
Well, I guess it's safe to put on some lights now.
Not yet. Okay, you can turn it on now. He must have gone someplace to the right.
All day long, I've been trying to keep my mind on my work.
Thinking about Thorwald?
And you and your friend Doyle. Did you hear from him again since he left?
Not a word. He said he was going to check the railroad station in the trunk. Must be still at it. Is something on your mind?
It doesn't make sense to me.
What does?
Women aren't that unpredictable.
Hmm. Well, I can't guess what you're thinking.
A woman has a favorite handbag, and it always hangs on her bedpost where she can get at it easily. And then all of a sudden, she goes away on a trip and leaves it behind. Why?
Because she didn't know she was going on a trip. And where she's going, she wouldn't need the handbag.
Yes, but only her husband would know that. And that jewelry. Women don't keep their jewelry in a purse getting all twisted and scratched and tangled up.
Well, they hide in their husband's clothes?
They do not. And they don't leave it behind either. Why, a woman going anywhere but the hospital would always take makeup, perfume, and jewelry.
Put that over there. That's inside stuff, huh?
It's basic equipment. And you don't leave it behind in your husband's drawer in your favorite handbag.
Well, I'm with you, sweetie. I'm with you. Tom Doyle has a pat answer for that, though.
That Mrs. Thorwald left at 6 a.m. yesterday with her
husband? According to those witnesses.
Well, I have a pat rebuttal for Mr. Doyle. That couldn't have been Mrs. Thorwald.
Oh?
Or I don't know women.
Well, what about the witnesses?
We'll agree they saw a woman. She was not Mrs. Thorwald. That is, not yet.
Is that so?
there.
I'd like to see your friend's face when we tell him. He doesn't sound like much of a detective.
Oh, don't be too hard on him. He's a steady worker. I sure wish he'd show up.
Don't rush him. We have all night.
We have all what?
Night. I'm going to stay with you.
Well, you'll have to clear that with my landlord.
Have your weekend off.
Well, it's very nice, but I just have one bed.
If you say anything else, I'll stay tomorrow night, too.
I won't be able to give you any pajamas.
You said I'll have to live out of one suitcase. I bet yours isn't this small.
This is a suitcase?
Well, a marked crossover night case, anyway.
Who?
Compact, but ample enough.
It looks like you packed in a hurry. Look at this. Isn't that amazing?
I'll trade you my feminine intuition for a bed for the night.
I'll go along with that.
Where does a man get inspiration to write a song like that?
Well, he gets it from the landlady once a month.
It's utterly beautiful. Wish I could be creative.
Well, sweetie, you are. You have a great talent for creating difficult situations.
I do?
Sure. Staying here all night, uninvited.
Oh, surprise is the most important element of attack. And besides, you're not up on your private eye literature. When they're in trouble, it's always their girl Friday who gets them out of it.
Well, is she the girl that saves them from the clutches of the seductive showgirls and the overpassionate daughters of the rich?
The same?
That's the one. But he never ends up marrying her, does he? That's strange.
Weird. Why don't I slip into something more comfortable?
By all means.
I mean, like the kitchen, and make us some coffee.
Oh, and some brandy, too, huh?
What else have you got on this man, Thorwald?
Well, enough to scare me. You wouldn't show up in time and we'd lose him.
Think he's getting out of here?
But he's got everything he owns laid out over there in the bedroom, waiting to be packed.
I'm just warming some brandy. Mr. Doyle, I presume?
Tom, this is Miss Lisa Fremont.
How do you do?
We think Thorwald's guilty.
Careful, Tom. Hello.
Lieutenant Doyle.
Yeah, he's right here. For you.
Hello.
Lieutenant Doyle, sir.
I'm speaking. Yeah. All right. I see, thank you. Goodbye.
Coffee will be ready soon.
Jeff, aren't you going to tell him about the jewelry?
Jewelry?
He's got his wife's jewelry hidden in his clothes in the bedroom over there.
You sure it belonged to his wife?
It was in her favorite handbag. And Mr. Doyle, that can only lead to one conclusion.
Namely?
That it was not Mrs. Thorwald that left with him yesterday morning.
You figure that out, eh?
Well, it's simply that women don't leave their jewelry behind when they go on a trip.
Come on, Tom. Now, you don't really need any of this information, do you?
As a matter of fact, I don't. Lars Thorwald is no more a murderer than I am.
You mean to say you can explain everything that's gone on over there and is still going on?
No, neither can you. That's a secret private world you're looking into out there. People do a lot of things in private they couldn't possibly explain in public.
Like disposing of their wives.
Let's get that idea out of your mind. It'll only lead in the wrong direction.
What about the knife and the saw?
Did you ever own a saw?
What? At home in the garage, I had...
How many people did you cut up with? All of the couple of hundred knives you probably own in your lifetime. Well, your logic is backward.
You can't ignore the wife disappearing and the trunk and the jewelry.
I checked the railroad station. He bought a ticket. 10 minutes later, he put his wife on a train. Destination, Barrettsville. The witnesses are that deep.
That might have been a woman, but it couldn't have been Mrs. Thorwald. That jewelry...
Look, Miss Fremont, that feminine intuition stuff sells magazines, but in real life, it's still a fairy tale. I don't know how many wasted years I've spent tracking down leads based on female intuition.
All right. I take it you didn't find the trunk. And all this is from an old speech you once made at the policeman's ball.
I found the trunk a half hour after I left here.
I suppose it's normal for a man to tie up a trunk with heavy rope.
Well, if the lock is broken, yes.
Well, and what did you find inside the trunk? A surly note to me?
Mrs. Thorwald's clothes. Clean, well packed. Not stylish, but presentable.
Didn't you take them off to the crime lab?
I sent them on their merry and legal way.
Why, when a woman is taking a simple, short trip, does she take everything she owns?
Let's let the female psychology department handle that one, huh?
I would say it looked as if she wasn't coming back.
That's what's known as a family problem.
And if she wasn't coming back, why didn't he tell his landlord? I'll tell you why he didn't tell his landlord, because he was hiding something.
Do you tell your landlord everything?
I told you to be careful, Tom.
Look, if I'd have been careful piling that reconnaissance plane during the war, you would have had a chance to take the pictures that won you a medal and a good job and fame and money. What do you say we all sit down, have a nice friendly drink, too, Forget all about this. We can tell lies about the good old days during the war.
You mean you're through with the case?
There's no case to be through with, Miss Fremont. How about that drink? Yeah, I guess you're right. Well, maybe I better get home and get some sleep. Yes. Not much of a snifter. Oh, Jeff, if you need any more help, consult the yellow pages in your telephone directory.
Oh, I love funny exit lines.
Who was that trunk addressed to?
Mrs. Anna Thorwald.
Well, then let's wait and find out who picks it up.
Oh, the telephone call. I gave him your number. Hope you don't mind.
Well, depends who they were.
The police at Marriottsville. They reported the trunk was just picked up by Mrs. Anna Thorwald. Don't stay up too late.
Look.
he's kind of young, isn't he?
Much as I hate to give Thomas J. Doyle too much credit, he might have gotten a hold of something when he said that was pretty private stuff going on out there. I wonder if it's ethical to watch a man with binoculars and a long focus lens. Do you suppose it's ethical even if you prove that he didn't commit a crime?
I'm not much on rear window ethics.
Of course, they can do the same thing to me, watch me like a bug under a glass if they want to.
Jeff, you know, if someone came in here, they wouldn't believe with it, see?
What?
You and me with long faces, plunged into despair because we find out a man didn't kill his wife. We're two of the most frightening ghouls I've ever known. You'd think we could be a little bit happy that the poor woman is alive and well. Whatever happened to that old saying, love thy neighbor?
You know, I think I'll start reviving that tomorrow. I'll begin with Miss Torso.
Not if I have to move into an apartment across the way and do the dance of the Seven Veils every hour. Show's over for tonight. Preview of coming attractions. Mr. Doyle, think I stole this case?
No, Lisa, I don't think he did.
What do you think?
Well,
I will rephrase the question.
Thank you. Yes, I like it.
You know,
For a minute, that Tom Doyle almost had me convinced I was wrong.
But you're not.
Look, in the whole courtyard, only one person didn't come to the window. Look.
Why would Thorwald want to kill a little dog? Because it knew too much?
You think this is worth waiting all day to see?
Is he cleaning house?
He's washing down the bathroom walls.
Must have splattered a lot. Well, why not? That's what we're all thinking. He killed her in there. He has to clean up those stains before he leaves.
Oh, Stella, your choice of words.
Nobody ever invented a polite word for a killing yet.
Lisa. Lisa, back there on that shelf. A little yellow box, you see it?
Top one?
Right on top, yeah. Bring it, and bring me the viewer there. I've just gotta... Well, these are about 2 weeks old. Hope I took something else beside leg guard. Now, which one?
What are you looking for?
There's something, and if I'm right, I think I've solved a murder.
Is this Thorwald?
No. No. The dog. Uh-huh. I think I know why Thorwald killed that dog. Here, now. Now, you take a look and tell me what you see. Now, take it down. Now, look again. I'll take it down. You see?
It's just a picture of the backyard. That's all.
One important change. One important change. Those flowers in Thorwald's pet flower bed.
You mean where the dog was sniffing around?
Where the dog was digging. Now look at those flowers. Look, right, those two yellow zinnias in this end aren't as tall as they were. Now, since when do flowers grow shorter in 2 weeks?
There's something buried there.
Mrs. Thorwald.
You haven't spent much time around cemeteries, have you? Mr. Thorwald could scarcely put his wife's body in a plot of ground about 1 foot square. Unless, of course, he put her in standing on end, and then he wouldn't need a knife and saw. No, my idea is she's scattered all over town, leg in the east,
oh,
river
now. Please.
No. There's something in there, though. Those flowers have been taken out and put back in.
Maybe it's a knife and saw.
Yeah.
Call Lieutenant Doyle.
No, let's wait. Let's wait till it gets a little darker, and I'll go over there and dig them up.
You'll go. You won't dig anything up and get your neck broken. I'm not going to call Doyle until I can produce Mrs. Thorwald's body. What we've got to do is find a way to get into that apartment.
He's packing.
Oh, here. Get me a pencil. Well, Stella, get this note paper. It's up here someplace. There it is.
Look. Thank heaven that's over. All right, if I have a drink?
Sure, go ahead. About he's leaving. It's just a question when.
Mind if I use that portable keyhole?
Who has this lodge? Tell me what you're looking at.
I wonder.
Wonder what?
Miss Lonelyheart's just laid out something that looks like rhodium triagonal capsules.
Well, you can tell from here.
I've had enough of those red pills to put everybody in Hackensack to sleep for the winter.
Well, does she have enough of them to...
Well, make the rest easy. But...
Wasn't that close? What was his reaction? I mean, when he looked at the note.
Well, it wasn't the kind of an expression that would get him a quick loan at the bank.
Jeff, the handbag.
Suppose Mrs. Thorwald's wedding ring is among the jewelry he has in that handbag. Now, during the phone conversation, he held up three rings, one with a diamond, one with a big stone of some sort, and then just a plain gold band.
And the last thing she would leave behind would be a wedding ring. Stella, do you ever leave yours at home?
The only way anybody could get that ring would be to chop off my finger. Let's go down and find out what's buried in the garden.
Why not? I've always wanted to meet Mrs. Thorwald.
Look, what are you two talking about?
You got a shovel?
A shovel? Of course I do.
It's probably one in the basement.
Oh, wait, hold on.
Jeff, if you're squeamish, just don't look.
Squeamish? I'm not squeamish. I just don't want you two to end up like that dog ended up, that's all.
Oh, you know, Miss Freemoney might just have something there.
Now, just hold on. Here, take this. There's no sense taking any chances in this thing. Here, give me the phone book.
Before.
Maybe I can get him out of that apartment.
We only need a few minutes.
I'll see if I can get about 15 minutes.
Oh.
Chelsea 27099. We scared him once. Maybe we can scare him again. Well, I guess I'm using that word we a little freely. I mean, you're taking all the chances, right?
Shall we vote him in, Stella?
Yes.
Unanimously.
27099. Look out. Girlfriend calling, the one you killed for. Go on, pick it up.
Hello?
Did you get my note?
Well, did you get it, Thorwald?
Who are you?
I'll give you a chance to find out. Meet me in the bar at the Albert Hotel. Do it right away.
Why should I?
Little business meeting. To settle the estate of your late wife.
I don't know what you mean.
Now come on, quit stalling, Thorwald, or I'll hang up and call the police.
I have only $100 or so.
That's a start. I'm at the Albert now. I'll be looking for you. Signal with a flash bomb.
Mr. Doyle resident.
Hello, this is L.B. Jeffries speaking. I'm a friend of Mr. Doyle. Who is this?
This is a babysitter.
Oh. Well, when do you expect them in?
Well, I'm hired till 1, and they went to dinner and maybe nightclub.
I see. Well, if he calls in, would you have him get in touch with L.B. Jeffries right away? I might have quite a surprise for him.
Well, do we have your number, Mr. Jeffries?
He has it. Good night.
Good night.
Stella was wrong about Miss Lonely Hearts.
Ring Sorrell's phone the second you see him come back.
I'm gonna ring right now.
Oh, no, give her another minute.
All right, fellas, let's try once from the beginning.
Miss Lonely Hearts. Oh, call the police.
Give me the police. Sixth Precinct.
Yes, sir.
Assaulting a woman at 125 West 9th Street, second floor, the rear. No, make it fast.
Your name?
L.B. Jeffries. Chelsea, 25598.
What's she trying to do? Why didn't she turn him in?
She's a smart girl.
Smart girl. She'll get herself arrested.
Yeah, it'll get her out of there, won't it?
Look, the wedding ring. Turn out the light, he's seen us. How long do you think he'll stay there?
Well, unless he's dumber than I think he is, he won't wait until his lease is up.
Get my billfold out of the drawer on the table there,
Mom. What do you need money for?
Oh, I'm going to bail Lise out of jail.
You know, you could leave her there till next Tuesday. Then you could sneak safely away as
planned. Yeah, let's see. It's $127.
Well, how much do you need?
Well, this is first offense burglary. That's about $250.
Lise's handbag.
Yeah. How much do you have?
50 cents.
Here, take this.
Look, I got $20 or so in my purse. Give me what you got.
What about the rest? What about the rest?
Well, most cops see leaves or they'll even contribute.
Well, hurry up. Just a minute. Hurry up. Jeffries?
All right, what is it now?
Doyle, I've got something really big for you.
Why did I have to return your call? Look, Jeff, don't louse up my night with another mad killer stuff.
Listen to me. Lisa's in jail. She got arrested.
Your Lisa?
My Lisa. Boy, you should have seen her. She got into Thorwald's apartment. But then he came back, and the only way I could get her out was call the police.
I told you.
I know you told me. She went in to get evidence, and she came out with evidence.
Like what?
Like what? Like Mrs. Thorwald's wedding ring. That's like what? If that woman was alive, she'd be wearing that ring, right?
A possibility.
It's a fact. He killed a dog last night because the dog was scratching around in the garden. You know why? Because he had something buried in that garden that the dog scented.
Like an old ham bone?
I don't know what pet name Thorwald had for his wife, but I'll tell you this. All those trips at night with that metal suitcase, he wasn't taking out his possessions because his possessions are still up in the apartment.
You think perhaps it was old ham bone?
Yeah, in sections. And I'll tell you something else. All the telephone calls he made were long distance. All right. Now, if he called his wife long distance on the day she left, after she arrived in Merrittsville, why did she write a card to him saying that she'd arrived in Merrittsville? Why did she do that?
Where'd they take place?
With precinct 6. I sent somebody over with the bail money.
Well, maybe you won't need it. I'll run it down, Jeff.
All right. Now, hurry up, will you? This fella knows he's being watched. He's not going to wait around forever. Hurry up.
That ring checks out. We'll give him an escort. So long, Jeff.
So long. Hello, Tom. I think Thorwald's left. I don't see... Hello.
do you want from me? Your friend, the girl, could have turned me in. Why didn't she? What is it you want? A lot of money? I don't have any money. Say something. Say something. Tell me what you want. Can you get me that ring back?
No.
Tell her to bring it back.
I can't. The police have it by now.
Jeffries, don't let anybody touch him. Get my medical bag from upstairs.
Oh, Lisa, sweetie, if anything had happened to you.
Shut up,
I'm all right. Gee, I'm proud of you. You got enough for a search warrant now?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Lieutenant Doyle.
Yeah?
Are you okay?
He's alive.
Thorwald's ready to take us on a tour of the East River.
You saying it was buried in the flower bed?
Yeah. He said the dog got too inquisitive, so he dug it up. It's in a hat box over in his apartment.
Want to look?
No, thanks. I don't want any part of it.
I hope it's going to be a hit. This is the first release.
I'd love to hear it. I can't tell you what this music has meant to me.
Told me you quit your job, we wouldn't have gotten married.
Oh, honey, come on.